And let's say it together. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. Ready? This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. Remain standing with me, please, and turn in your Bible, if you would, please, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 6. If you don't have your Bible, you can certainly read it off the board, off the PowerPoint. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 6. I'm going to read verse 5. Paul, you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to read verse 5, and then I'll go into verse 6. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the main story, Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And I pray, Lord, that as we move towards this Christmas season, Lord, our hearts will not be distracted by the materialistic world that Christmas brings on, this material world brings on, but that we would keep our hearts and our minds focused on Jesus, the Messiah. Pray, Lord, that you would just anoint this message as it goes forth. Hide your servant behind the cross. Once again, we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As Christians, we read the New Testament and we think about Jesus and the story of Christ. And we read it and we see the opposition that Jesus had with the religious leaders of the day, the ones who were waiting for the Messiah. And we get frustrated by that. We get angry sometimes at these people because they just didn't get it. They didn't understand who he was. To us, it seems pretty obvious, but we have the advantage to be able to look back on it and to see the end of the story here. To them, it was a little more difficult. And we're going to read some of the Old Testament scriptures that they were reading as religious leaders that they studied daily about the Messiah. And we're going to get to that here in just a little bit. We're going to read some of those Old Testament scriptures to try to understand where they're coming from. Now, these Old Testament scriptures that we're going to read have a two-part meaning for today. One, the first part is, try to imagine where they were coming from when they saw these scriptures. What shaped in their mind who the Messiah was. Secondly, now that we know, we have the advantage of knowing, who is the Messiah to us? Who is he to us? Who is he this Christmas season in our own hearts? You see, the religious leaders had an airtight opinion garnered from studying the Old Testament prophecies that they diligently studied. To them, David and David's seed, Solomon, were inalienably connected. When they thought of the Messiah, they thought of David. And when they thought of David, they thought of a king. And when they thought of Solomon, they thought of a rich, powerful kingdom. And this is what was connected in their minds to the Messiah that was going to come. So the prominent in their mind was that the king is coming, and they focused on that kingly figure, David and Solomon. And I'm not going to read these two. Genesis chapter 28, verse 13, Paul probably pull it up, but it talks about that a kingdom was going to come out of Jacob, Genesis 28, 13. And then in Numbers chapter 24, it talks about a seed that will come out of Jacob. So very early on, they're studying these Old Testament scriptures, to them was the scripture, was their Bible. They were looking at who is the Messiah? What is he going to do? When is he going to come? All of these things they were focused on. And especially in Jesus' day, they were under Roman rule. They weren't even a kingdom anymore. They were subservient to the Roman Empire. And so they were very anxious for this king to be born. We know that in the Old Testament prophecies talked about the Messiah being born, a king in the line of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. This is David. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, whom will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Skip down to verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. And this is from the prophet Nathan, spoken to David. So we see these Old Testament prophecies talking about a king, talking about a throne, talking about a kingdom. And this is what they studied, and this is what they had in their mind. Messiah, David, Solomon, kingdom. This is the lines in which they thought. If you move over to up to major prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, there will be no end. So we're going somewhere with this, but this is what they were reading. This is what they were seeing. They were praying and they were waiting for the Messiah to come, and especially being under Roman rule. They didn't like it. They were taxed by Rome. And Rome used their own people to collect the taxes and made them subservient. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And in his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. They didn't quite understand that concept. We do. We're talking about our Messiah. We're talking about our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But to them, they were waiting. And this is how they perceived him. A couple more scriptures in Psalm. We got Psalm 45 and verse 1. You kind of get a picture in your head where what they were seeing and what they were studying and how excited that they became every time they began to really focus and concentrate. Because they believed God. They believed these prophecies. They believed it was going to come true, that the Messiah was going to come and he's going to set up this kingdom and he was going to rule forever. Psalm 45, starting with verse 1. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, and people fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. And you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Speaking of the Messiah that was to come. One more in Psalm 72, verse 10 and 11. The kings of Tarshish and the isles will bring presents, and the kings of Sheba and Sheba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. It began when? It began when Jesus was born. And a few months later, the wise men showed up. The kings from the east showed up, and they did bow down. They did offer him gifts. But that was just symbolic to what is going to yet happen. When Jesus returns And he sets up his eternal kingdom, which the Bible talks about. All the kingdoms and all the kings are going to bow down. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we understand these prophecies better than what they did at the time. Jesus did not fit their motif for a king. He was not born in a politically important city. He was not born to politically connected parents. He wasn't even born in a wealthy family. It was just all wrong. So, a majority of them missed him. As Jesus walked the dusty streets of Palestine, every day there were people going to the temple and they were praying for the return of the Messiah. Every day that Jesus walked the earth, when he healed people, when he preached, when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, every day there was someone in the temple praying for the return of the Messiah. But it couldn't be him, could it? This couldn't be a king. This couldn't be a conqueror. This couldn't be a ruler. How sad a picture is that, that they would be praying for the Messiah as he walked by, and they wouldn't see him. How many people today are in a search for answers? Today. Answers to the why do I exist? Answers to what is my life about? Yet they walk right by the Bible and they walk right by Jesus and don't see that the answers lie right there in front of them. There are people today that are afraid to put their trust in Jesus. They're afraid that he might disappoint them or that they might be disappointed in him. Yet they will readily put their trust in money. How many know that's not such a good idea? Especially in today's economy. A lot of strange things are happening in the economic world. Money is not so secure. Or they'll gladly put their trust in things. Well, we know about things. They usually end up in the landfill. Or they will put their trust in people. All of these things are temporal. They are unstable and they are unpredictable. Jesus is still the answer. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is still the Messiah. The Jews were looking for a warrior king, not a wandering evangelist, followed by the ragtag fringe of humanity. Is this all wrong? He can't be the Messiah. Besides that, the religious leaders didn't get the memo. Now, God would not send the Messiah, but first he would give the memo to the religious leaders. Right? I mean, after all, they were the ones that were connected to God. Who got the memo? Shepherds. Talk about ragtag fringe of society. The shepherds got the memo. It's just all wrong. But it's all right, isn't it? Jesus didn't come to win a popularity contest. He didn't come to be in a beauty contest. He came to get the job done. Even today, the world wants a Messiah that will meet all of our material wants and needs. A Messiah that will make us rich. How many churches have gone off the rails on that one? A Messiah that will make us happy all the time. A Messiah that will make us healthy. And they want it now. All those things are promised, but they may not all happen in the extent they're promised here on this earth. We ask the question, why do people suffer without considering our sinful world? We ask, why is there evil in the world with no thought to our own contribution to the same? We ask, why do people die, not really taking into account that the longer man lives, he becomes more increasingly bold and corrupt. You remember when people lived hundreds of years? It talks about it in the Bible. What happened to our world? God had to destroy it by the flood and start over. You remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were fine. Everything was good. They ate of the knowledge of tree of the knowledge of good and evil. At that point, God had to throw them out of the garden because he didn't want them to get to the tree of life. See, he didn't want them to have the knowledge of good and evil and to live forever. And so we are blessed with that knowledge of good and evil. But we aren't blessed with the knowledge of eternal life unless we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's why he came. You know, we can have a little of heaven right now in this life. A lot of it, really. By receiving Christ, becoming a Christian. See, the world wants all the benefits of heaven and they want it right now. And of course, Jesus can't be the one to give me that. But if we do come to Christ, we are connected. We change our citizenship from earth to heaven. You have a home with an address in heaven, if you're a Christian. You're only here until you go home. You are an ambassador here. You are a visitor here. Your home is there. And the more we understand that, the more of heaven we have with us here. The Holy Spirit, the Bible, God is good. But still, we want a Messiah that gives us everything now. We want heaven right now, not considering that we maybe aren't really ready yet. Or maybe our neighbors aren't ready yet. Jesus said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are blessed with the opportunity of angels and with the opportunity that Christ himself had to minister to a lost and dying world. So the Jewish leaders saw Jesus and did not recognize their own God. Wow. How about you? Do you see him? Do you know him? He came very humbly into this world. It's hard for humans to see the greatness of God, the Creator, in the meekness of his visit here to our home. The shepherds are the one that got the memo. I don't know if any of you followed the news, but when our President of the United States was over in India, there were planes that went with him. There were a fleet of vehicles that went with him. There was an army of people that went with him. The Indian people took the coconuts off the trees so one of them wouldn't fall on his head. And the shepherds got the memo when Jesus came. We've heard the ancient story, and I think it's shown up in a couple of movies, where the king in his kingdom was felt separated. He didn't really, he was separated for so many layers of bureaucracy in his kingdom that he didn't really know what was going on in his kingdom. So he decided that he was going to dress up as a peasant and he was going to go out in disguise into his kingdom and find out what was going on out there in his kingdom. And so doing, he found out what people thought of the king. He learned about them. Jesus came, not really intended to be in disguise, but people didn't recognize him. Jesus came to this earth, and he walked among us. He didn't come because he didn't know us. He didn't come to learn about us. He came so we could learn about him. He came to show us God. Is that cool? Jesus came to show us God. I love that. So to speak, we can reach out and touch him. There were people that lived during that time that actually touched Jesus. And there were people that touched him that didn't know he was God. And they beat him, spit on him, put him on the cross. Probably the dumbest thing that man has ever done. But fortunately for us, they were blinded to who he was so we could be saved. Because if Jesus wouldn't have died for our sins, there wouldn't be any salvation. I'm grateful for that. Is Jesus good or what? God is good. All the time. And as this Christmas season begins to roll up on us, think about that. Think about the real meaning of Christmas. The Messiah came to walk among us. It's really easy to get distracted during this Christmas season, isn't it? There's Black Friday, there's Cyber Monday, and then from here to Christmas is like sales, all that stuff going on. We're going to close. Probably there'll be something about Christmas every Sunday till Christmas. I hope you can deal with that. Have every head bowed and every eye closed, please, if you would. Two things I'm going to ask you. First, I'm going to ask you if anyone needs to make their heart right with God through Jesus Christ. Maybe you have, and you have drifted away. You've kind of forgotten that the main thing is still the main thing, and that is Jesus the Messiah. And you need to re-up. Or perhaps you've never given your life to Christ and you need to do that. You really do. If that's you this morning, slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to rededicate my life to Christ, or I need to give my life to Christ. Anyone? Are you where you need to be? Secondly, perhaps this morning there's someone here that would say, I think I'm living too much in the material world, and I'm not really living with my eye on the prize, which is heaven, not like I should be. And if that's you and you just need to have, between Thanksgiving and Christmas here, you need to have your focus, your attitude, your sights adjusted, perhaps. You just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm caught up in the stuff where I see that hand. And put it down. You guys are doing good because I see that hand. You can put it down. It's a hammer you every Sunday, huh? I'll wait just one more minute. We're going to pray. Lord, I pray for those that lifted their hand. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their heart. Lord, that they would be able to focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that they would be able to put aside those things of the world that try to crowd in and steal us from being able to see the Messiah, from being able to recognize him when he walks by us. Lord, I pray that each one of us, when we open our eyes on the other side or when the rapture takes place and we stand before Jesus, we will know him. We will know him. There will be no question in our mind as to who he is because we know him now. Help us to get to know him all over again, even better, during this Christmas season. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.